الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لأمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام أنت وشيعتك هم المفلحون صلوات Tonight is the night before the Yawm al-Mab'ath. That means tomorrow, 27th, is the day when in the history our Holy Prophet was officially commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start his propagation of the religion Islam. So tomorrow actually marks as one of the most significant days in the entire history of humanity from the perspective of guidance and spiritual and eternal success for the humankind. And the only recipe that the humans have for their eternal success. And this is the day which is after 40 years of the birth of the Holy Prophet. 40 years of his Mubarak and blessed life had already passed, and the idol worshippers who used to bury their daughters alive and were proud over their ignorance and ignorance-based policies of life. They were proud over their ignorance, which I usually say in my speeches that this is a kind of ignorancism. They were proud over, it was almost like their religion. They were proud over the ignorancism that they were practicing. But the same ignorant mushrikeen of Makkah used to call our beloved Prophet as Sadiq and Amin. Which is why we believe, and the knowledge, one of the reasons, you know, that signifies the fact that we believe in the Ilm al-Akhlaq, that the most fundamental of all the Islamic moral values are nothing but the same two things: Sidq al-Hadith wa Ada' al-Amana. There's nothing more fundamental in the beautiful list of Islamic values of morality, nothing more fundamental than that. And actually, not only our Holy Prophet, But we learn the light of some of the ahadith that every prophet was tested by Allah and with these two things, truthfulness in his talk and speech, sidqul hadith, wa ada'ul amana, means giving away and paying back and taking care of the divine entrusted trusts and amanat. So Prophet was the highest among all the messengers, and on the 27th of Rajab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down two of his greatest angels as messengers, Jibra'il with 70,000 angels accompanying him, and Mikael, the angel of risk and sustenance, with another 70,000 angels accompanying him. So we are talking about 140,000 official guests, headed by Jibra'il. Along with him is Mikael. Allah found the heart of the Holy Prophet to be the best of all the hearts, the most khashir, God-fearing, and most muti, obedient towards Allah. And Allah provided him, according to the hadith, another nur and light. So another nur was given to the Holy Prophet, and the doors of heavens were opened up, and the rahmat of Allah extended from the saqul arsh, means the pillar of the divine throne, up till the head of the Holy Prophet. And Prophet looked up, angels are descending, and finally Jibra'il asked the Holy Prophet, he brought with him the kursi of izzat and karamat of Allah. This is the kursi and chair which Prophet owns, that's his kursi gifted by Allah to him. We call it, you know, the chair of izzat and karamat. And along with him, he also brought the taj, the crown, on behalf of Allah. You see, the kings are crowned in those ceremonies, isn't it right? So we are talking about our ceremony, of divine ceremony that took place in the presence of 140,000 angels and Jibra'il and Mikael. And so we find the crown and taj of Nubuwwat was placed by Jibra'il on the head of the Holy Prophet according to the hadith of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. And the liwa'ul hamd, the flag of the praise, which is the flag of Rasulullah, was given at that time to the Prophet by Jibra'il. This is the flag that Prophet has, which is actually carried by Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Because Prophet himself has said, liwa'ul hamd li wa aliyun hamiluhu. Isn't it right? Liwa'ul hamd belongs to me, but its carrier is Ali. So the angels, as they left the Holy Prophet, obviously Jibreel said to him to read, and he said, what shall I read? He knows the entire knowledge already, isn't it right? Everything is already in his knowledge. He has the ilmul kitab, he has the knowledge of the entire book in his soul, and the Quran is the kitabul haqa'iq, the knowledge of all the realities of the universe. Everything of the universe, all the haqa'iq and realities of the universe, every haqiqat. So we find the Prophet has the ilm al-ghayb and knowledge of the unseen, and he says to Jibreel, what shall I read? And that's where Jibreel brings about the first verse and reminds him about the first verse of Holy Quran. The Prophet already knows the entire Quran already, isn't it right? So Prophet started to read, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. So the verses, the beginning verses of Surah Al-Iqra were recited by the Prophet when the angels had left and Prophet was descending down from the Mount of Hira, where the first revelation happened. When he was descending down from the mount, the hadith tells us that everything that the Prophet was passing by, from every plant and every stone and every tree that Prophet was passing by, was doing sajda towards the Prophet. Look at the respect of Rasulullah, and this which is recognized by every existence around in the universe, not recognized by some of the humans. So the least the Prophet was respected by was by the humankind, isn't it right? Everything else was perfectly respecting him, but some of the humans did not respect. So we find, and not just that every existence was doing the sajda according to the hadith of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, but in addition to that, every existence that Prophet was passing by, every tree and plant and stone was addressing the Holy Prophet by saying, As-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. That's how things were talking to the Prophet, addressing him, paying their salam and respects to him, to the Prophet. Finally, when he enters into the house of Hazrat Khadija alayhi salam, and she witnesses the noor, and the special noor, and she inquires, and Prophet tells her that this is the noor of the Risalat, the messengership. And he asks Hazrat Khadija to say the kalima, and she says, "It's years that I believe in your Risalat," and she bears witness once again upon the Holy Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that this is how the Bi'sat event takes place. And the Prophet started his propagation in Makkah for when this verse came inside his house, the verse of Surah Al-Muddathir, Ya أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر. When these verses were revealed inside the house of the Holy Prophet, when he was lying down, relaxing, as we believe our messenger and imams, they never sleep. قد تنام, hadith says, قد تنام عينه ولا ينام قلبه. Isn't it right? The eyes of the Ma'asum go to sleep, but his heart, that means his soul, never sleeps. This is one of the long list of differences between the Imam and us, the sinners, the regular humans. So the Prophet, his soul never sleeps. Only the eyes of the Ma'asum sleeps. So when Prophet was relaxing, and these verses were revealed, he stood up and he put his finger in the ear, and that's where he said Allahu Akbar 2 times. And the narration tells us that every existence of the universe, obviously other than the humans, that's not there in the hadith, but I'm mentioning to you not the humans. We humans and jinns are in the examination hall, isn't it right? We are put to test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every existence of the universe responded back to the Holy Prophet and repeated this divine statement that he said according to the command of Allah, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. That means mention your Lord with takbir and holding him as kabir and as akbar and high, in other words, with highness. So Prophet said Allahu Akbar 2 times and everything repeated back with him. So we find for 3 years our messenger performed his tabligh and propagation hiddenly, and some people became believers, and after 3 years when this verse was revealed again on the Holy Prophet, Fasda bima tu'mar wa a'rud anil mushrikeen inna kafaynakal mustahzi'een. When this verse was revealed on the Holy Prophet, that's where he started the, according to the command of Allah, the propagation of Islam openly. For three initial years, he was propagating Islam hiddenly. So now we find Prophet goes to the Mount of Safa and start his propagation and warning the people, inzar, warning the people. That's where our scholars say that if we were present in front of the Holy Prophet in Makkah, in those, just visualize yourself standing on the streets of Makkah next to the Mount of Safa. You know, Safa and Marwa, we do we do the sa'i and the occasion of Hajj. Isn't it right? Prophet went on the Mount of Safa and he starts the warning of the people. Just imagine yourself standing there at that time on the streets of Makkah and hearing the voice of the Prophet, first time ever starting his propagation openly. If we were there, would we accept what the Prophet say? There are so many Shias who are born to Shia parents, but they have so much high level of stubbornness towards accepting the haq and truth. Isn't it right? They're ready to give up on their traditions and customs and desires. So if we were, the scholars say, if we were standing in front of the Holy Prophet when he starts his propagation on the Mount of Safa, standing in front of him as the audience, would you accept what the Prophet say? The answer to the question lies in that how much essence of submission, ruh taslim, jazbay haq pasandi, do we have in our souls? This is the answer. And this is actually the definition of Islam. You know, this, you don't find a real definition what Amir Mumineen defines Islam. And his definition is the Al-Islam of Al-Taslim. Isn't it right? Islam is the essence of submission to Haq. This is what Imam Ali defines Islam. He's not saying in the best of the definition, Islam is the one who was born to such and such parents. There are so many who are born to such and such parents but end up becoming kafirs, siding with the kuffar and taghuts, isn't it right, for their pennies and interests. There are so many, especially in the time of Ghaybat. We have plenty of examples, and the narration informs us that people will be switching sides. Isn't it right? So we find it's very, very important, as we are talking about the incident of Bi'sat, to realize that we need to adjust our belief system with the teachings of Quran. Did we have the chance to present our beliefs over Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt? How many, let's do a survey in Islamic centers. How many Shias are there out there in the Islamic community, generally speaking, who are presenting what they believe, their aqa'id, over Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam? Because that's the yardstick and criteria and mizan, isn't it right, to judge what is Haqq and the Prophet left behind? Two things. If there was any third thing instrumental for our eternal success, he would definitely have left behind that third thing as well, isn't it right? So we need to present what we believe and what we do over the Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, so that we can find out how much of the Haqq we are believing and following and how much of the batil we are doing. Also, 28th of Rajab is the event which is coinciding with the travel of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam from Medina. Our third Imam is departing his watan, his holy city, his city where he was born and raised. And naturally, we have we have attachments with our vatan, isn't it right? We keep on recalling our hometown, no matter where we migrate to, we keep on getting reminded, isn't it right, about our holy town, because these are natural affiliations. So Imam al-Husayn al-Salam is departing his hometown, and not a single Shia. Medina is full of Shias and followers of Ahlul Bayt. Not a single Shia in the history comes to our third Imam and says, Yabna Rasulullah, why are you leaving the town? I am willing to sacrifice my life ahead of you. Who can dare touch you as long as I am alive? Not a single person said it. Not a single person said it. Can we spare our lives when we escape from Allah's makr and plan? Makru wa makru Allah. Makru wa makru Allah. Wallahu khayrul makirin. Isn't it right? Khafiya makruka. Dua Kumail says, in Farsi we say, Chube khudawan sida na darat. In Urdu we say, Allah ki lati mein awaz nahi hai. ऐसी मरम्मत होती है कि इंसान समझ भी नहीं पाता क्यों हो रही है. We can never escape the divine plan. Yeah, that's what we believe. Is that right? So the same people of Medina, you find that the city of Medina was mubah by Yazid, made it mubah for his battalion after Karbala when he attacked the city of Medina. And they massacred the people of the citizens of Medina for 3 days. And 8,000 bastard children were born because of the zina committed in those 3 days by the army of Yazid, history says. Did we save our life? These are lessons from the history. A city that cannot protect the hujjat of Allah doesn't deserve to survive in the eyes of Allah. There are certain formulas that Allah has set forth. We need to chip in into divine standards. If we don't, we are the ones who are the losers in ways that we may not even realize. Why in the world is this happening to me? So Medina was devastated. Medina was devastated, you know, rooted out. The city of Medina was rooted out. It converted into, like a ghost town. That kind of behavior, by ruthless, barbaric behavior by Yazid, La'natullah's army. So, people didn't support Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And Imam al-Husayn in his wasiyyat to Muhammad ibn Hanafiya says, Inni lam akhruj ashran wala batiran wala mufsidan wala zalima. I'm not going out for the sake of my ego. Wala bataran, for the sake of feeling good, pleasure, you know. And wala mufsadan, nor for the sake of spreading mischief and facade on earth. You know, nor as spreading facade and mischief on earth. Wala zaliman, nor as an oppressor. Innama kharajtu. The only reason why I am uprising, لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. So I can seek the correctness in the nation of my grandfather. There's a lot of wrongs in the nation, isn't it right? Lots of wrongs. Who else is going to correct if the Khalifa of Allah doesn't take a stand? So Imam Hussain is taking a stand for that. أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. I want to do Amr بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. وَأَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ and do نَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, bidding the good and forbidding the bad. Isn't it right? So lots of majalis and Islamic centers, you go, you don't find the mention of ma'roof and munkar in their majalis, mahafil, in their gatherings. Actually, some of the Islamic centers are, make sure that they invite those of the orators who only talk about things that the audience likes. So the likeness of the audience or the dislikeness is the criteria, because they want to correct the funds. No, we need to run the center. People don't like it, you know what? We don't like it, but you know what? We have to do it because people otherwise don't show up. So you need to run your center as an idol, but so you have to run it at every cost, even though you may have to trample upon the divine and Ahlul Bayt's value system. If that's the case, then please don't even bother to make an Islamic masjid or center, because we have lots and lots of other worship places and temples available outside of various types, which are basically motivated by people's desires, not the divine values. So this is what this is about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's time. And for 10 years of his imamat, imamat of Imam Husayn spans over 10 years. Allama Tabatabai in his book says, in the 10 year time of the imamat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, not a single riwayat or narration is narrated by any person from Imam Husayn alayhi salam. In the knowledge of narrations, what does it mean? It means that the community who claims to be following Imam Husayn has abandoned the leader and the Imam. Isn't it right? Nobody bothers to show up to learn nothing from him. That was the situation for 10 years of the imamah. 10 years, not one or two. Until the time he announces that he is leaving and doing this Qiyam. And this is what we are commemorating tonight as well. 28th of Rajab is the day when he departs the city of Madina. Since the time he announces about his departure, then onwards in the history, those few months remaining up till the month of Muharram, 10th of Muharram Ashura, for these very few months, last few months of his life of imamat, there are some riwayat and narrations narrated from him. Nothing before his announcement. That's the status. That's the status of the community who claims that we follow Ahlul Bayt. You never complain from the enemies. Do you have any complaint from the enemies? Enemies are enemies. You don't expect nothing from the enemies. You expect things from your followers. Isn't it right? So we find this is about the departure of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And the root of the matter that we need to keep in our minds is the distance of the community from the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. That's the root of the matter. That's where we want our communities to be reminded and return back to that path of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is the key to success. So the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, where the narration tells us that Prophet was, he drew lines on his right and on his left over the ground, and he said that these are the paths, don't go towards these paths, they are misleading ones. And then he drew a straight line in front of him and he said, this is my path and the path of my Lord. So, and then after that, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my words, then after that the Holy Prophet said that the nation of my brother Musa got divided into 71 sects. All of them are in hell. This is narrated by the famous Sunni Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the four Imams of our Sunni brothers, in his authentic book Musnadul Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Al Musnad, one of the six authentic books of the Sunni brothers. He is narrating this narration. So Prophet says, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is narrating, the Prophet said, the nation of my brother Musa got divided into 71 sects. All of them are in hell except one. How will you see? The one who accepted the teachings of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. This is not in the hadith I am explaining to you. The one which is not in hell is the one that accepted the teachings of Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa is a Muslim, was a Muslim, all the prophets were Muslim. God doesn't have multiple agendas. There is no hypocrisy in the agenda of Allah. Isn't it right? And Prophet said that the nation of my brother Isa got divided into 72. All of them are in the hell except one. So which is the one? Again, that's not in the hadith, but I explain it to you. The one who followed the teachings of Prophet Jesus. They are not in the hell, they are in the heaven. And then the Prophet says, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is narrating, that سَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي عَلَىٰ ثَلَاثَةٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً. Soon my nation will be divided into 73 sects. النَّاجِي مِنْهُمْ وَاحِدْ وَالْبَاقِي حَالِكْ. So the one who is going to be successful is one, and the rest are halik, destroyed. So in the nation of Rasulullah, in the 73 sects of the Muslim community, there are 72 sects are halik according to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his book Musnad. 72 sects according to the confirmed narration, which all the Islamic sects agree to the authenticity of the narration. Is that right? But everybody says, we are the ones who are successful. Is that right? But that's a different story, who is the successful one. But everyone accepts to the authenticity of the hadith itself. You don't find anybody challenging that this hadith is not authentic. So 72 of the sects of Muslims are in the hell, they are devastated, and one is the one who is Naji, Ahlul Najat, one who has salvation. And that's where Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam posed the question. Asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then who is the one who is Naji, Ahlul Najat, the one who has salvation. And that's where the Prophet replies back to him, Anta wa shi'atuka humul muflihun, Anta wa shi'atuka humul fa'izun. You and your followers are the ones who are successful, and you and your followers are the ones who are have the salvation, in other words. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Are the successful ones. So we need to, like the Prophet says in other hadith, that choose that religion which is khudh min ad-din ma safa, which is safi and pure. Choose the pure religion. This is what Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi used to say, that our Islam is Al-Islamul Muhammadiyul Asil, Islam-e-Nab-e-Muhammadi in Farsi. Khalis Muhammadi Islam, the pure Muhammadan Islam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Is that right? So, the pure Islam. وَمِنَ الْعَيْشِ مَا كَفَى. And choose a lifestyle that much of from this dunya, in other words, which is sufficing for your needs. So, and we don't go for more and more. Isn't it right? Even if you earn more and more, which is not a problem, but you don't go for more and more. You don't spend for yourself. Even if you have millions and billions, that's fine from halal, but when it comes to spending on our own selves, we go for what suffices our needs. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, Hasbi min at-ta'am ma yuqimu dhahri. That much food is enough for me, that makes straightens my back. That means, in other words, I can stand up and do my job. That much food is enough for me, that can straighten my back. حَسْبِي مِنَ التَّعَامَ يُقِيمُ وَاهِرِي وَلَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّي, and does not block me from doing the ibadat and worship of my Lord. And not that I eat up so much that then I feel sleepy and I lose what du'as that I used to read every day. On that night, I lose all those du'as because I ate too much. Isn't it right? حَسْبِ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ مَا يُقِيمُ وَظَاهِرِ. And somebody objected on Imam Ali alayhi salam that you you eat so less. The guy saw what Imam Ali was used to eat, the dry bread of barley. Barley was the cheapest food around, isn't it right? Barley was something eaten by horses, isn't it right? You don't provide the most expensive food to the animals. You provide the cheapest one, isn't it right? So barley was given to the animals in those days. He has lowered down his status of living to the lowest possible level. Simplicity. So this guy saw Imam Ali eating the dry bread of barley, and he saw that Imam Ali has basically tied up, in other words, the bag in which the food, the bread was there, and he asked him, why did he locked up that bag? And Imam Ali says, because I'm afraid my children don't add in it some of the marak, some of the water. You know, you eat, the dishes that we eat, it has some watery things. If you pour it, your bread becomes soft. Isn't it right? In other words, so he has locked it up, he has tied up the bag so that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam cannot add any water into the bread, that type of water. And he said, well, you are such a champion of the battles. Imam Ali salam replied that inna shajaratul barriyata aslabu udan. That means the tree of desert, the desert tree has tougher wood. If the wood, the stem of the desert tree is tougher. Obviously, it makes sense because it has to have a deeper roots to extract water from deeper grounds, because in desert there is no water. Water is already scarce. So the wood of the desert tree is tougher. So Imam Ali Salam's body has to be tougher. And so Imam Ali Salam, so he says that حَسْبِي مِنَ التَّعَامْ مَا يُقِيمُ ظَهْرِ وَلَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّي. So وَمِنَ الْعَيْشِ مَا كَفَى وَمِنَ الْإِخْوَانِ مَا وَفَى. The hadith which I was mentioning to you from the Prophet, where he says that choose those of the brothers which are wafa means they are faithful. Brotherhood in Islam is based entirely on taqwa. So we befriend those of the people who are assisting us in maintaining and keeping away from all the harams and the bad moral attributes and maintaining our taqwa and spirituality. Imam Ali al-Salam, the incident when the Prophet did the muahat, brotherhood between muhajireen, the migrants of Makkah, and Ansar, the helpers of Medina, he did not make Imam Ali to be a brother to nobody. And when Imam Ali al-Salam said to the Prophet that you don't make me a brother to anyone, in other words, Prophet says that I have left you for myself. أَمَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَ بَعْدِي.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Your status towards me is that of Harun towards Musa, except that there is no prophet after me. So we know Harun alayhi salam was the wasi and khalifa, is that right, of Hazrat Musa. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is also, and also the brother of Hazrat Musa. So Imam Ali is also the brother and the wasi and the khalifa. And Imam Ali himself has said, Ana Abdullah wa akhu Rasulillah. I am the slave of Allah and the brother of the messenger of Allah. And no one can claim to be a brother of Rasulullah except a kazab, a liar. And one of the people in the gathering raised his voice and said, me too, I'm also the brother, I'm also the brother. And the narration says that as he was saying that statement, during that statement, he got suffocated, he couldn't breathe, and he got suffocated and died. So anyone who claims this status of Imam Ali Rasulullah is one of the long list of evidences that he is the most superior person in the entire Ummah and closest to Rasulullah. If there was anyone superior than Imam Ali Rasulullah, definitely Rasulullah would have made that person to be his brother instead of Imam Ali Rasulullah. So this is a delil for the fadilat and afdaliyat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So we find that we are supposed to choose a lifestyle, those of the friends which are faithful towards us and friends which are assisting you towards helping each other on the values of Islam and our spirituality. Isn't it right? So because everything that we have in this dunya and along with us is going to stay in this world. إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا عَنْ سَلَاسٍ. When the son of Adam dies, his action is broken away, it stops. When we die, we can't do anything further, isn't it right? Except three things. عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ, a knowledge from which there are people who are benefiting from it. You publish a book, isn't it right? Even if you write down one hadith on a piece of paper, even if you write down on a hadith sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the hadith tells us anyone who writes the salawat on the Prophet, as long as this paper survives, he gets the sawab. Any kind of knowledge that you impart, you disseminate, you spread, you propagate in any form, electronic or otherwise, in any way. So then you serve the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. This is what is going to cause your book of deeds to still remain open inside the grave. Constantly nice things and hasanat and good deeds are added. عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ أَوْ صَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ, or a sadaqatun jariyah, something, a charitable thing that you do which is constant, continues. أَوْ وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ, or you leave behind a son who is salih and he prays for you. Allah listens to the dua of a salih son. Allah